Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 13th of September, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and I'm very pleased to welcome back Florian Geyer from his summer break. Florian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just grand. Very, very glad to be returning to the show after the long hiatus, and it's always a treat to be on with you, Sven, and looking forward to returning again much in the future, back in the saddle and in the regular cycle of things, as it were.
Well, you were very much missed. I think a lot of people were asking where Mysterium Fasces was, and they were asking why we hadn't done any Daily Traditionalists, and I was very ill, and I'm feeling a lot better now, and I'm glad we can get back to doing the Daily Traditionalist regularly. At least it will be at least two episodes a week. If we can't do it every day of the week, at least we're going to get two episodes in. We've got you on Wednesdays, and we've got Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson on Tuesdays, and today we're going to look at racist liberalism, subject which you brought up just as we were discussing this before we went on air. And I think this is a really good subject to bring up, really, because so much of the alt-right seems to be infected with a liberal mindset. And what we mean by that, I guess, is a modernist mindset. And what we really want to be doing is going back to traditions and the traditional way of looking at things, because the traditions have proved themselves over the years to be the correct way of doing things. And yet we seem to get a lot of people that they don't like one aspect of modernity, but they seem quite happy to put up with other aspects of modernity, and they don't realize that it's all linked in together. Now, I've got a list of basically things that I've heard around the alt-right, which I would suggest come from this racist liberal mindset. And the first one I've got is people say they don't like feminism, but yet they like sleeping around. They like the fact that women are behaving like men and will jump into bed with them. But then they'll say that they don't like feminism, they don't like their jobs being taken over. But it's both of it is the same thing, as far as I can see. You know, if you didn't have feminism, you wouldn't have this sleeping around. And what that leads to is broken homes and children without fathers. And it's not just women that are to blame for this. It's men as well for behaving like sluts, basically. And when you really look into it, it's straight men behaving like homosexuals, because the idea of having lots of partners is a homosexual idea. The heterosexual way was always to settle down with one woman and produce children, and the homosexual way was to have as many sexual partners as possible. So what we've ended up with now is straight men behaving like homosexuals, sleeping around, and then claiming that they are against feminism and trying to have a go at the women for being feminists. But as far as I can see, until men start behaving themselves and turn themselves into the sort of men that women are going to want to hold themselves back for, this is a problem that's going to continue. What do you think, Florian?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. I think that the feminism kind of came packaged with artificial birth control, and the combination of both of these two factors is what paves the way for men to be as promiscuous as homosexuals. I mean, in any traditional culture, you know, if you're in a setting where, you know, you don't have reliable artificial birth control, you know, you're just going to get somebody pregnant if you do that, engage in that kind of behavior. And her father would force you to marry her or else. And that was always the traditional solution to these problems. So in that sense, men have always done this. It's just that in the past, they were forced to accept responsibility and deal with the fruit of their actions, which, you know, is children, right? They start a family and they get married and naturally come into their vocation in life as a father. Once you introduce artificial birth control, whether via condoms or hormonal pills or abortions or whatever, you remove all of those negative consequences that are set into natural law that are designed to curb this negative behavior. But yeah, I mean, I think that you're exactly correct. I mean, you know, there's a I'm sure your list has many, many examples. I think that at the heart of all of this is kind of going back to what you said with racist liberalism. It's just these that the people who have these supposedly right-wing views essentially believe what the liberals of the 1920s believed. And this is the fundamental issue, because the liberals of the 1920s adopted policies that led 100 years later to our current situation.
Yeah, that was the seed of it, really, that's grown into this monstrosity that we see today. And the next one that I've got is another two things that are linked together. People will say, well, I don't mind homosexuals, what they do in their own bedroom really doesn't affect me. It's just the gay pride that I don't like. And of course, I don't approve of child abuse. But it's homosexuals that abuse young boys. Homosexuals cannot recruit other homosexuals without abusing young boys. They can't reproduce themselves. This is the only way that they can create other homosexuals, is to abuse children. So if you say, well, I don't agree with homosexuals, but what they do in their bedroom is okay, it's never just going to be what they do in their bedroom with another adult. It's never just going to be that, because they are attracted to young boys, basically. Adolescent boys is what they are attracted to. And they're quite open about this as well. And if you were to say, we'll go back to the biblical law and we'll say homosexuality is a sin and it should be a capital punishment and people should be killed for homosexuality, then I don't think that would mean that we would see lots of people being executed, because you would still need to have three witnesses. So as far as I can see, if we brought that law in, it would prevent them from abusing children, but what they actually did do in their own bedrooms would stay in their own bedrooms. They wouldn't get caught buggering each other in parks, because they would know that they would be executed for that. So even though you've got this biblical standard there, it should be an execution for sodomy, it doesn't necessarily mean that all these sodomites would be executed. It only means that if they were caught. So, you know, we could feasibly go back to the biblical law without having, you know, loads of queers being massacred. It would just direct their behavior to make sure that it didn't affect us. They would no longer be able to indoctrinate children. They'd no longer be able to be around children. And if they did still engage in that act, then they would be doing it extremely secretly and hiding this from others, and not trying to proposition, certainly wouldn't be trying to proposition other men, which is the most offensive thing. So when a homosexual tries to proposition you, that is just absolutely sickening that our society allows that to go on. So for liberals to say it's okay, we don't mind gays doing it in their bedroom, what they're basically saying is, well, I'm pretending that there's no link between homosexuality and child abuse. And I think we should be advocating to go back to biblical law. And if people say, yeah, but that's brutal, you can point out that, you know, it would only be a few of them. It would only be the ones that were flaunting it, that were witnessed doing it, that were actually executed for that. What are your thoughts on that, Florian?
Well, I certainly agree with you in principle. I mean, I think that the law codex of St. Justinian the Great, supervised by St. John the Cappadocian, you know, prescribes immolation for the crime of sodomy in Eastern Rome. You know, so any sort of argument that this is not, you know, a totally legitimate historical and just Christian punishment is laughable. But, you know, these are the times we live in. But I think that you've touched on something that's kind of critical, and it's at the center of the racist liberal mindset, is that they're unwilling to make universal moral judgments, because they don't actually believe in transcendent morality, because these people are relativists. They ultimately care mostly about their own point of view and their own comfort, rather than subscribing to the worldview that the world out there is real and has one order and one truth. And so they want to minimize the negative effects of what's clearly an evil, homosexuality, but they don't want to pass a moral judgment on the person while doing so, because that would mean that they have to judge themselves. It would mean that they have moral standards that they have to hold themselves accountable to, you know, and they have to say, wow, look, there's all sorts of bad stuff that I do in my life. These are sort of the impulses that are at the core of the racist liberal worldview. In terms of policy, in regards to homosexuals, you're absolutely correct. I think that one of the kind of dumbest ideas is that any sort of institution of basic morality in the public sphere, basic decency, necessarily implies, you know, video cameras in everybody's bedrooms, a sort of totalitarian 1984-esque state, which is just it's just absurd. It's just absurd. And these are the sort of responses that I got after I made my podcast on the sodomite question. You know, and it's the criminalization of homosexuality, whether the punishment is capital or not, does not imply a surveillance state.
That's just it, isn't it? People are responsible for their own actions. They'd still be responsible for their own actions if they. It would mean that they weren't able to do it in public. I think what you're bringing up there is these situation ethics and moral relativism that the Jews have pushed over the last 100 years, that depending on which situation you're in or depending on who you are, whether something is right or wrong. And the next thing that I've got listed here comes into that category, I think, is when people think, well, pornography is fine for adults. It's fine for consenting adults. But what that means is that you've got pornography in society, and that means that young children can get hold of it. And over half of 11-year-olds now have seen hardcore pornography. And I dread to think the damage that does to a young child. You think kids that aren't even adolescents are seeing this stuff on the internet. The genie's out of the bottle. They can't really talk about censoring it now because it's already there. It's already been done. The young minds have already been damaged. And all of this is because of this selfish behavior by adults thinking that a whole of society is just for them. And because they're adults, they're consenting adults, they can watch this and sod all the children out there. It doesn't matter if children see it. They just want to watch their pornography, which is really evil. Never mind the damage that it does to a person who is watching prostitutes being screwed by strange men all the time, how they are going to be able to form a lasting relationship with their partner that's worthy of producing children after that, I don't know. The dopamine in the brain is as if they've been taking drugs. They become addicted to it. They become addicted to the excitement and the changes of partners. Everything that surrounds pornography is wicked and evil to us, and particularly to men, because men are manipulated by it. I mean, we are distracted by it. We're distracted by good-looking women. And once we are distracted by that, our emotions are we are no longer in control of our emotions. It's being controlled by what we're actually seeing, and it distracts us from what it means to be men. We are supposed to be good, upstanding, moral. We are supposed to be the moral guidance for society. And yet this pornography is aimed at us, and it's mainly young men that say, oh, well, it's okay. I'm an adult. I can watch this. It isn't harming me. But, you know, I mean, I'm a bit older than the young men now, and I can say, yeah, it is harmful. You know, as an older man, I wish I hadn't seen it when I was younger.
Absolutely. And I think that this argument is really a product of the sort of baby boomer hedonistic mentality that almost all of our listeners will be familiar with. And anybody who says that sort of thing to you, you know, that pornography, they want the pornography to be legal but not for children, is either a baby boomer or being purposefully dishonest with you. Because anybody who has grown up in the last 30 years understands internet pornography. You know, this I could ask any peer from my age group, and they would confirm it 100% that by the time they're 11, 12, 13 years old, which is right around the time I was when I was first exposed to it, you know, they've seen this pornography, you know, many times, as you say, hardcore. And it is incredibly, incredibly spiritually damaging, especially when there is no the masturbation and pornography are considered to be normal. They're encouraged. There's no limits placed on people's sexual behavior. There's no even sense of sexual ethics or reinforcing morality. There's nothing. And so Sarah from Rose said that pornography is the devil's iconography. Frankly how it ought to be treated. I mean, lust, you know, is the most dangerous drug in the world, and it should be treated like a controlled substance, this stuff, because it makes men do things, you know, makes men do things as if they were on drugs. And it has been since we walked out of the garden.
Well, it encourages perversity as well, as you were saying there. It encourages people to have no boundaries. And the really shocking side of it is, I mean, when you're talking, you're looking at it at 13, 14 years old, you're an adolescent, your hormones are raging. And you see that stuff, and it's very easy to become addicted to it. And as you say, it's spiritually crushing. So we should be standing up against that and saying, no, we are against pornography. This liberal mindset that says that it's okay for adults, we can't go along with that. Next one that I've got here is now we're moving into the racial area, and you'll get the racist liberal that will say, well, a little bit of mixed blood isn't a problem. We can just breathe that out. And this is one that really does get me, because this has got to have been what every one of the old civilizations said. They must have said that in India. They must have said that in Babylon. They must have said that in Mesopotamia. A little bit of mixed blood isn't a problem. We can just breathe that out. We can just put them to breed with white people. And what happens is gradually the nation turns brown. And I see this now in the alt-right. We've got non-whites that are involved, and they think that they can just lighten themselves by getting a white partner and everything will be fine. And sometimes they'll bring up the National Socialists and they'll say, well, with National Socialism, if you were an eighth Jewish or whatever, you could breed with an Aryan and then you would be an Aryan again. But the National Socialists weren't aware of DNA. DNA testing has proved that it doesn't matter how long ago it was that your ancestors were interbreeding, that will remain in your genome. You cannot actually clean that from you. You cannot breathe that out of you. It's always going to be there. So we've got to stand against that. I it's fair enough. We've got people with mixed blood that want to advocate for us. They can see that they don't want the white civilization to fall, especially not due to race mixing. That's great. But they should be standing up and saying this. They shouldn't just be talking about the other subjects. They should be saying that mixed breeding is wrong. I'm a product of mixed race, and I will be breeding with somebody else who is mixed race and not looking for somebody who is white. I see a lot of this, Florian, mixed people looking for white partners and thinking that if they can come into nationalism or the alt-right, then they're going to find a white partner and their children will get treated as if they're white because they are culturally white. And it's not a cultural problem, it's a racial problem. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you. I would say that every single Christian nation, I wouldn't even say Christian nation, I would say every nation in the world that had contact with other races in a colonial setting always adopted anti-race mixing laws, especially for Christian countries. And so I think that this should be just a very basic established point, is that, no race mixing means no race mixing. And so it doesn't matter, if your girlfriend is, a high yellow worthy of a Civil War ballot, she's still not white. And so that's just basically what it comes down to, and so we understand, I think, at a basic level, what is white, people love to obfuscate this by getting into the nitty-gritty and talking about, certain populations of Mediterraneans in, the Levant or whatever. But this is always a distraction. I think that this comes back, Sven, if you don't mind if I get a little bit into the philosophy that surrounds these people's mindsets, is that these people basically want to return to the peak of modern civilization before it descended into decadence, where there was material abundance, there was relative individual liberation, there was a secular state, there was a techno-capitalist economy that provided wealth for all of the classes. This is kind of what they're into. And so most of the time, these people are cosmopolitans, they're atheists, something I've noticed, almost always atheist or agnostic. And they're materialists. And so every one of these questions, whether we're going to talk about pornography or drugs or whatever, right, abortion, it's going to be filtered through this mindset. And so what we have to understand is just to, for our listeners, I think that most people listening to this podcast believe in the truth. They believe that there is one order to the universe, that man can at least come to know some of, right? That's objective. And they believe that the life, the cosmos, is not only physical, but spiritual, and that man is both a physical and a spiritual entity. These presuppositions will color every single aspect of your worldview. They so radically change the way you look at the world. So when one of our listeners who thinks this meets somebody who says that they're, you know, supposed to be far right or a Nazi, who, you know, is a hard materialist, believes that the flux of evolution is the only thing that produced, you know, the white European race, and that it's merely a Darwinistic imperative to secure breeding and resource rights, you know, and so on. It's ridiculous. It's laughable. You know, there's no worldview parallel between liberal racists and traditionalists in a broad sense. They are part of the enemy.
And completely missing the spiritual component of everything. I think you're right there. They reduce everything down to a materialism and pleasure and what feels right for them, really. I could go on from this, the little bit of mixed blood isn't a problem. They move on from that to saying, well, sleeping with Asians is okay because Asians have got a high IQ. So any children created aren't going to be stupid. Not like as if you were breeding with Negroes. But it's the same thing, whether it's breeding with Negroes, whether it's breeding with Asians, is going against the natural order. It's going against the God-created order, which was kind after kind and bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And you should be attracted to people that look like you. You should be breeding with people that look like you. And going with people from other races is an aberration. And even if you're saying, well, we're not going to have any children, you know, it's just going to be having sex, you're still having sex with another race. It's an aberration. It's somewhere, it's not as bad as breeding with animals, but it's somewhere along that line. It's going against what is natural, going against the natural order, and it's a perversity. It's something that should be frowned upon, not something that should be accepted. And the worst that can result from it is that children will be created, and then from then on, that means that bloodline is mongrelized. And we are blessed as white people. We're blessed that we're not a mongrelized bloodline in the main. You were bringing up earlier there Mediterranean or Levantine peoples, and I think any of these nations which have unfortunately been colonized by Muslims or whatever in the past, then you will have mongrels among the population, and the people there have just got to be careful that they don't interbreed with them. And as far as saying who is white and who is not, when you've got people from nations which we know have been interbred with Muslims, then you've just got to, you know, just got to be use your eyesight basically, because that's all we can do. And treat people on an individual basis. But if they're still a European nation, then they're still a part of Europe, and the white individuals in those nations, they have my support. It's the ones that are obviously not white that are then claiming to be white. That's the issue. And moving on from that, we then get phrases like, it's not all Muslims, it's only the extremist ones, or not all Jews are bad. Some Jews have actually helped us. But the problem is, whether or not they are good, they are bad, they shouldn't be in our countries. They shouldn't be in our countries at all. The fact that we have them here means that we are competing with them for territory. Their mindset is completely different to ours, and it corrupts our mindset, especially the Jews. And if there are some, which are an exception to the rule, that don't behave like devils, then that just confuses people. Because people then think, oh, well, this Jew isn't so bad, so maybe they're not such a problem after all. They are a problem. They are the source of our problem. They've been the source of our problems since they killed Jesus Christ and they rejected the Logos and the Logos rejected them. You know, that they have been the source of all the problems and the revolutions that have happened ever since then, and they're at the source of our problems now. So that, I think, is what we have to point out to people when they say not all Jews are bad, not all Muslims, it's only the extremist ones. And they are also replacing us in our own countries. The Muslim birth rate is far outstripping the white birth rate, especially in Britain. They're breeding like rats, basically. And this, just the space in the country itself that they are taking up and all the jobs, everything that they, you know, the government will say, well, they bring in jobs, they start businesses. But every one of those businesses they've started is a business that a white man hasn't been able to start up, that he's had taken away from him. And whenever they need hospitals, whenever they need schools, all these places are at the expense of white people. So when you get civic nationalists or racist liberals that are saying, well, it's not all the Muslims, it's not all the Jews, the very fact is that they are still replacing the white people with them. Whether you make a judgment on them being good or bad or whatever, they are still replacing white people. I mean, this is something you hear quite a lot, is that it's not all Jews and it's not all Muslims, Florian.
Absolutely. And this comes back to this central fact that these people, they don't have a strong worldview and they don't have strong beliefs. And the one thing that they're afraid of is any sort of absolute morality or order. Because if there is some sort of objective, transcendent order out there that they have to compare themselves against, suddenly they realize they're not such hot shit and they have to take responsibility for their sinful activity. And that, you know, and so I want to talk about Charlottesville because I think that this is a fantastic example. In Charlottesville, after the No Assembly Edict was read, you can watch the video. There were two groups of people that stayed behind, okay, and got into scuffles with the Antifa who refused to be unlawfully dispersed. These were hardcore National Socialist, TWP guys, and these were hardcore Southern Nationalists, especially League of the South. Okay, in the aftermath of this event, we immediately saw calls from people like Richard Spencer saying that there should be no Confederate flags, no non-American flags, no symbols of nationalism, no swastikas, and so on, right? And this is the sort of quivering, coward-like behavior that, you know, makes me almost lose it, because this is case in point of what I'm talking about. These people are useless, because at the first sight of oppression, the first sign of the state using their massive titanic power against them, they will crumble, because they're not, you know, who's going to die for their toaster? Who's going to die for their comfort? People die for their blood, for their soil, for their God. If you don't have these things in your heart carrying within you, what do you live for? What are you willing to suffer and die for? There are saints living today who spent 20, 30, 40 years sitting in Soviet gulags, tortured worse than the Romans could ever have thought of.
Yeah,
they didn't abandon Christ. And so I just, getting back to this question, is these people have no firm beliefs. And so of course they want to make exceptions and loosen the rules and let the odd non-white into the country because they don't care. You know, they don't really believe in truth. So how could they believe in a nation?
Well, one of the ways they try to get around that is to say things like, well, all religions are the same. They're just ways to control people. And they try to say that everything is the same. All these religions are the same. It's all got one God. And even the modern day church tries to say that. They try to say that Jews and Muslims are part of an Abrahamic faith and they're all just different ways to God. They're not different ways to God. They're false ways to God. There is only one God. There is only one truth. And even though this is saying, oh, well, religions are the same, so I support all of religions, you can't do that. You've got to support one. And when you're looking to support one, you've got to look for what the truth is, what the objective truth is, which is clearly Christianity. You can't look back at all our ancestors for the last 2,000 years that were in the majority Christian and ignore that. You can't ignore the witnesses that converted them. You cannot ignore the things which they said. They believed in that. That was their beliefs. And if you want to honor your ancestors, then you're going to honor Christianity and you're going to help us trying to turn it back to how it should be, back to scriptural Christianity that's based on natural law and based on the laws that our ancestors had when we had our societies that worked. And you cannot compromise on any of them. You can't compromise on usury. You can't compromise on sodomy. You can't compromise on race mixing. You have to take a stand, because each one of these things is like a slippery slope that leads to where we are today. Florian, I don't know if you've got anything else that you would like to add before we finish.
Glory to Christ the King.
I second that. I'll be back next Tuesday with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. So thank you for listening. Hope you have a good weekend. Enjoy the rest of the week and hail victory.
You've been listening to The Daily Traditionalist on Radio Arian. At Radio Arian.